Right now, Sportslit 101, Bruce Pratt in studio. And joining us on the G&M Family Market phone line, the author of a wonderful book, Urban Shocker, Silent Hero of Baseball's Golden Age, Steve Steinberg joins us. Steve, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for this really fascinating book about a guy I knew far too little about.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share the story. It really is a pretty remarkable story of courage and love of the game.
You know, one of the things, I mean, I grew up as a Yankees fan. This is Bruce, I should have said that ahead of time. And I knew a little bit about the history of the Yankees. I'm 66, so I go back a while. But I had no idea that you could really put Shocker among the elite Yankee pitchers of all time and the elite pitchers of all time, with including his stuff with the Browns. Can you sort of shed light on maybe why we don't know as much about him as we should?
Well, I think, first of all, his really best years probably were in St. Louis from 1920 through 1923. He won 20 games 4 years in a row. And what's most amazing about those years is that each of those years he missed about a month due to either suspension or injury illness. So one can only imagine. And St. Louis then was really the Western outpost. If you were traded to St. Louis, whether it was the Browns of the AL or the Cardinals, you know, it was far away from any place. And he was a very colorful guy. But by the time he did get back to the Yankees, and he was originally a Yankee, they traded him away. He came back in 25. He was older. He knew he was sick. He was a more reserved guy. And quite frankly, on a team with Ruth and Gehrig, especially the Babe, he's going to overshadow everybody. And a lot of people don't realize that that 27 great team of the Yankees had a pitching staff that was quite terrific.
And he never really got to pitch in the World Series with the Yankees, which had been his lifelong dream. But yet it seems that didn't, in the long run, bother him that much.
Well, he didn't get into the 27 series because his illness, heart disease, was rapidly overtaking him. He did get into the 26 series and, had a very disappointing game. And finally, the aging superstar gets into the series. And unfortunately, he ran into another aging superstar by the name of Grover Cleveland Alexander, who bested him in the 26 series.
Well, Steve, what was it originally that drew you to the story of Urban Shocker and made you think that would be a compelling tale to research and share?
Well, it goes back to the late 90s when my son, who was about 10 years old at the time, we'd be frequenting card stores, and they actually saw a card that said Urban Shocker on the front of it, and I thought it was maybe some shooting incident in a big city or whatever. And when I did take a look at the card, it was a card that was reissued in the 90s. I realized that this, like you said, I had never heard of him. And the fact that he was that good, and then the fact that I noticed that he was dead less than a year later, it really got me hooked. And I've published a lot of other things, but, Shocker was really what drew me into the world of baseball history and writing, and finally decided it was time to get this story out.
Well, along with Lyle Spatz, you're also the author of a book we've talked about before, The Colonel and Hug, about Miller Huggins and Jacob Rupert. And I believe that your research proves that Shocker was the only guy Huggins ever traded away and had ever traded back for.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there might have been a marginal player. I'm thinking Mike McNally. There might have been. And even one of the guys that they sent to St. Louis to get Shocker back ended up coming back to the Yankees. But in terms of anybody of any significance, I mean, Huggins was a very shrewd guy in terms of evaluating talent. And if he gave up on somebody, there was probably a reason. And he always regretted it. He had just taken over the Yankees management in October of 1917, was told by somebody, we never found out who that somebody was, that Shocker was a troublemaker, got rid of him really before Shocker had a chance, and he became a Yankee killer. And the Yankee jinx, especially his early years in St. Louis.
One of the things you point out in the book is how tough this guy was. He pitched both ends of a doubleheader, won both by a score of 6-2, and that would be remarkable in itself, but he had a debilitating heart disease, which I think it was only the 1960s that there became some viable treatment for this. Could you talk a little bit about what he had to go through during that disease and trying to pitch and pitching well at the major league level?
Yeah, he had mitral valve failure, which today is, I think it's, you go into the see the doctor or the hospital, and you're home for dinner that night. But back then, it was really a death sentence. A lot of people had the failure of their heart valves, which don't seal properly, because of rheumatic fever as a child. And I never was able to nail down if indeed he did have rheumatic fever as a child, but that was often the cause. And right around the time that he went back to the Yankees, and he was so happy he called them my Yankees, so was around the time that, we don't have any diary or anything, so I just have to put a lot together, a lot of research with the New York Daily newspapers, and there were a whole bunch of them back then. I do a lot of microfilm work. It just was a situation where he became weaker and weaker. That heart valve would not seal properly. In the last 3 years of his life, he couldn't sleep lying down. He had to be at an incline with a bunch of pillows, because otherwise the backwash of fluids would basically create a sensation, more of the reality that he was drowning.
Now,
it was tough.
I'm also a writer, and I know you've had this asked of you by an editor or publisher. Give me the one-sentence description of your book. And I was thinking about that process the other day when I was thinking about this book, and I was thinking about if there was one word to describe Shocker's life, would enigmatic be as good as any? I couldn't think of a better one.
Boy, one word is a hard one, that's not a bad one. I have to think about that a little bit. But, I mean, one of the great puzzlers, and maybe enigmatic suggests that, is that he was really on the 27 Yankees, really had receded into the background. And yet in the early 20s, there was no more really arrogant, cocky pitcher. I talk about one incident in 1920 when Babe Ruth came to the plate that he waved his outfielders in, Shocker did, and threw a slow ball. He had one of the great slow balls of all time. And the Babe swung and missed it, and Shocker waved his outfielders in again. They came closer in. The Babe was obviously getting angrier, and he threw strike two at him. And finally, the outfielders, Shocker, waved them all the way into the edge of the infield grass and struck the Babe out. It's hard to believe if any player would do that today, if Mike Trout or Harper, who would be the logical person that might have the moxie to do that. But Shocker certainly did. He was a colorful guy before he got sick and returned to the Yankees.
We're talking with Steve Steinberg. The book is entitled Urban Shocker, Silent Hero of Baseball's Golden Age. Steve, would you say that in many ways, Shocker is a pretty good representative of that era of baseball where so many guys struggled, had difficulties, an amazing number of guys died while in their prime back in those early days of the game, and it was also a time when, as he did, people played almost solely for the love of the game because there just wasn't very much money there except for the guys at the very top.
Yeah, he certainly did that, and as you said, there were deaths, and I think the shortened lifespan also made him more forgotten, because two Yankees went on from that pitching staff to the Hall of Fame: Wade Hoyt, who became a broadcaster for the Reds for many years, and Herb Pennock, who became a general manager of the Phillies, who died suddenly during the winter meetings of '49. He had just assembled that great WizKids team, and so he was voted into the Hall right after he had passed away. And Bob Schalke was another teammate there, and Schalke and Shocker probably had better numbers than Hoyt and Pennock. And Bill James argues that the wrong two Yankees from the 27 team are in the Hall of Fame, and goes on to talk about that a little bit in his book on the Hall.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, because one of the things that I think is astonishing is when people looked at between 1919 and 1927, the fewest innings Shocker pitched were 200, and the most were 362. And in every one of those years, he gave up more hits than innings pitched, but he still had phenomenal numbers.
Yeah, I think he was, like a number of pitchers in that era, they just didn't exert themselves really, and that's why they were able to pitch as many complete games as they did. You bear down more when home runs, other than the Babe, and maybe a handful of other people were not that common, certainly not as they are this year.
Yeah.
And you bear down, a pitcher would bear down when he had a guy in scoring position. So Shocker had pretty good earned run averages also. And that was just the way that he pitched. And as you said, the number of innings, amazing. In 22, you know, he was on his way for well over 400 innings, and then he missed about a month of the season because of a leg injury, probably because he had overpitched. Whenever the Yankees would come to St. Louis or the Browns would come to New York, it'd be a four-game series. Shocker insisted on pitching the opening game and the closing game against he was quite angry the Yankees had traded him away.
Now, go ahead, Rich.
No.
The question I was going to ask is that, would you say that his best season with the Browns, when the Browns were not a perennial leader, was as good as any? Was as good as Steve Carlton's season in '72?
Boy, it certainly would rank right up there. The 22 Browns were actually not a bad team. They only fell one game short of the pennant. But Shocker's 20 and 21 season, again, when he won more 20 or more games, you know, were right up there with some pretty bad teams. And the Browns had that one moment almost when they reached the series in 22. So it certainly is a great example of, a great pitcher on a not-so-great team.
Well, it's a fascinating book. Urban Shocker, Silent Hero of Baseball's Golden Age. Steve Steinberg, thank you so much for talking about it with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, and thanks a lot, Stephen. We'll be talking to you off air. We'd like to set up a time for you and Lyle to come and talk about the other book.
We'd love to have an opportunity to do so. Thanks again. Bye.
Our pleasure.
Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday with Bruce here on Downtown.